This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Throughout the course of history, mankind has tried to combine his efforts to help his fellow man. After World War I, the League of Nations was created, and since World War II, the United Nations took the lead. Both were designed to help the less fortunate nations and cultures improve their way of life. Additionally, many foundations and multiple charities have been created by a variety of individuals, churches, and corporations to serve and to offer supplemental help, all designed to provide added services for disaster relief, construction of homes, and the building of infrastructure to these blighted communities in third world countries. It has been an overwhelming attempt to secure a higher standard of living for so many that suffer from the burdens of their life's conditions. Humanity has tried, with very little success, to eliminate the inequality of the human experience. It's a never-ending task that seems to demand so much, and over time, has proved that whatever is done, it's never enough. But there is a solution to all of mankind's problems. And some of those benefits are available for you today, but only if you will commit to living a lifestyle reflective of the standards and values of the kingdom of God. Stay with us as we attempt to show you how this can be done on today's edition of the Armor of God. In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our family. To help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad that you could join us for today's program. What I want to look at today is the Kingdom of God. I want to talk about a theory, an idea, a philosophy that I will title Kingdom Now, that we as Christians need to be living our lives as if we're in God's kingdom. The Bible tells us that we're ambassadors of God's kingdom, and we need to be living like that right now. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I do believe the kingdom of God is not here yet. The kingdom is going to come to this earth when Jesus Christ returns for the second time. And I can prove that to you from a couple scriptures. Let me just show you in Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 23. Listen carefully. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth. Notice where we're at, on earth. Which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Now get this. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. No doubt about it, the saints are going to take over on this earth. You can't get around that from what Daniel is telling us here. And there are many other scriptures in the New Testament. I won't get to all of them, but let me just show you over in Matthew. I'm going to show you one there, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven, which is analogous to the kingdom of God, is as a man traveling into a far country. Now that is representative of Jesus Christ, who went off to heaven. He went to this far country and who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now notice what it says. You can read this, but I'm going to drop down to verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Again, this is telling us Jesus went away to heaven. He's coming back to this earth to set up His kingdom and to reward His saints, His believers. No doubt about it, the Bible is clear that the kingdom will be a physical, literal kingdom upon this earth. Even the disciples believed this 2,000 years ago, as we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. There was no wishy-washy idea as to what the kingdom of God was. In Acts 1 and verse 6 it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" They thought that Jesus Christ, after His resurrection, was going to overthrow the Roman Empire and bring back the glory days of the Israeli kingdom. This will happen in the future when Christ returns the second time. But the subject of our show today is to look at how we need to operate as Christians on planet Earth right now. We're ambassadors of Christ, and it's even deeper as to what we are, and we want to look at that on today's program. Now, I want to offer you some free CDs on today's program. We're offering two free CDs today. They are titled, "The Kingdom is at Hand" and "Kingdom Now." Now, to get both of these CDs free of charge, to learn more about what we mean by Kingdom Now, and also to learn more about the Kingdom of God, please call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also learn about our weekly sermon broadcast every Sabbath, every Saturday, by going to that same website. Go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, friends. Thanks again for joining us here on The Armor of God. We're talking about the kingdom of God today, and we established at the outset of today's program that the kingdom of God is not here yet, that it will be a physical, literal kingdom that will be established on planet Earth when Christ returns in the future. But what do we need to be doing as Christians right now in operating from a kingdom now mindset? That's what I want to talk about with you today on our program. Now, let me take you to an interesting scripture that causes some confusion about this topic of the kingdom of God. This particular scripture is found over in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17, and I'll pick it up there in verse 20. Listen carefully. "And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" Now, let's think about that statement for a minute. Notice who Christ is talking to here. He's talking to the Pharisees. Now, understand what the kingdom of God is. It's a glorious situation where all is well and God is ruling and in charge. And He's telling the Pharisees the kingdom of God is within you? No, I don't think so. There are other commentators and other translators of the Bible who will tell you a better translation here is not "the kingdom of God is within you," but "the kingdom of God is in your midst." And that makes a lot more sense when you think about the context of Jesus' message here and who He was talking to, which is the Pharisees. Now let's think about that statement, "the kingdom of God is in your midst." Obviously it was, because Jesus is the King of that coming kingdom. And secondly, Jesus had the Holy Spirit of God within Him as He spoke to the Pharisees. So yes, a bit of the kingdom was in their midst in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, let's expand on that idea for a moment. If Christians receive God's Holy Spirit, Do we have a little bit of that kingdom here on earth? Yes, in a microcosm, we do. And what is incumbent upon us then, if we do, we need to try to expand that in our area of concern, in our area of relationship with others on this planet. Now, let me try to give you some evidence of this. What I want to do is I want to look at some scriptures that will expand on this idea that, yes, the kingdom is here within Christian believers on earth today because they have God's Holy Spirit within them. And Scripture tells us we need to be operating now as if Christ is in us, living through us. Now, that's a heady statement, but that is what Scripture says. And let me show you that that is what it says. Over in the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 27, let's take a look at what it says there. Colossians 1 and 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a mystery. Christ in you. How is Christ in you? He's in you through the Holy Spirit of God. It's an unbelievable spiritual thing that God has provided for Christians, but that is what Scripture tells us, that Christ can be in you. Another interesting scripture along these lines is found in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Now, when Christ was resurrected and the Holy Spirit came upon that New Testament church, we find that Peter got up to speak to the gathered brethren on the holy day of Pentecost. And notice what he says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. He says the following, Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Do you get the enormity of this? Christ had God's Holy Spirit. And what he's telling us here is now we have access to God's Holy Spirit. That is how Christ lives in you, through his spiritual imbuing or infusing of your spirit in your mind. That's an incredible thing to understand if you're a Christian. And it has an incredible responsibility for us as Christians, since we have some of God's Holy Spirit within us. Now notice what we find in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, along these same lines of trying to live as if the kingdom is here now, if you are a Christian. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Notice what Paul's saying here. He was a Christian. Notice what he says. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's saying that I'm not living anymore. Christ has to be living through me. Now, that's a great responsibility for us as Christians. Do you live as if Christ is living through you? I don't think we can all say that we're doing that 100% of the time, but that's what you got to strive for as a Christian. Bring that kingdom now to this earth, at least in microcosm, and get people ready for what's really coming a little bit later with the second coming. Again, this is reiterated over and over in Scripture. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And doesn't the Spirit of God dwell in you if you are a baptized Christian who's had hands laid upon you, who's had the Holy Spirit called down upon you? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, of course, that's getting to the resurrection, but in verse 10, it definitely tells us we've got to live through that Spirit of God that's in us, rather than that carnal nature that is still there because we are still physical. Let's bring the kingdom now as much as we can on this earth. Let's help transform this earth now before the full totality of the kingdom gets here. A few pages forward in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. Romans 13 and verse 12 says this: "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Folks, this is talking about a transformed life, that you let the past go, you let the lusts go, you let the flesh and the carnal nature go, and you let that Spirit of God in your mind take over control of your life. Imagine how different we would be operating, how different the world would look at us if we brought this unique perspective to this world today, which is not God's world. Satan is ruling right now and God is allowing it. But there will come a time when Christ will take over and begin to physically, literally rule. But we as ambassadors of God can help bring this about, can help make this change, just like an ambassador who goes to a foreign country and operates there as best he or she can, to give the greatest perspective of their country within this different country. We as ambassadors of Christ need to be doing that now. We need to let people know what this new kingdom is going to be like and what it's all about through our activity in the present right now. One final scripture along these lines is over in Philippians chapter 2, and I'll pick it up there in verse 1, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says the following: "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So if you're confused as to how to bring kingdom now to this earth, here's a great point to make, that you want to think of others better than yourselves. You don't want to put the focus on you. You want to serve others. You want to help others. You want to volunteer for others. You want to care for the hungry, the sick, the prisoners. You want to do those types of things now. And when people see that in your life, they're going to say, that person is different. They are focusing on other people rather than themselves. That's what the kingdom of God is going to be like. Let's bring it now to the best of our abilities. But why does God want you to operate in this way now? Well, there's an enormous reason why. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, notice what it says: "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now that comes from the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, Peter is telling us to be holy. Why? Holiness is what God is. Wait a minute, folks. Why should we be holy? Aren't we just mere humans? But what is our potential? We are to be born into the God family. We're to become part of that family of God. God wants us to be holy like Him, and He wants us to start trying to do that now in this physical existence that we have. Notice what it says in James chapter 1 and verse 27. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now that word unspotted can also mean holy, to keep yourself holy from the world. God wants us to be holy because we are His children. And any father or mother wants their children to follow in their positive footsteps. This is a truth of the Bible that many do not understand. But it's right there in your Bible. You cannot deny it. In Genesis chapter 1, right at the beginning, what does God say about His creation? Mankind, what does He say? Genesis 1 and verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Do you believe your Bible? Do you believe you were created in the image of God, in the likeness of God? For what purpose? To be born into His family. Because that is what your Bible teaches. Jesus Christ came to this earth and became man, so man can one day become like God. Never greater than the Father, never greater than the Son, but in that same plane of existence. Higher than angels, because we will judge them. That is what Scripture says. And let me show you an example of that. If I turn over to the book of Romans, and I love the book of Romans, it has so much truth in it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You became the servants of righteousness? Who is righteous? God alone is righteous. And what is it saying? We need to become righteousness. We need to become servants of righteousness. Do you get what your Bible's saying? Now let me really lay it on you here. Let me go forward in Romans to chapter 8. And if you haven't gotten it yet, let's look at Romans chapter 8 beginning in verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Folks, God is adopting us. Just like a citizen can be adopted into a family, they become part of that family. The word Abba here means daddy. It is a word that is not used for someone who's not part of the family. Notice verse 16, Romans 8. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are, get this, the children of God. That's why we got to be operating like we're in the kingdom now, because we have the potential to be children of God, to be born into that God family. That is a tremendous truth that just blows my mind. Notice verse 17, just so you get the picture completely. And if we're children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Folks, co-heirs with Christ, glorified together. Who alone has glory? God. What's your Bible telling you? Face the obvious here. Understand the incredible human potential. Be transformative in your life now because of what you are going to become. Just like an ambassador in a different country needs to operate as the best that he can in that country, we need to do the best that we can in this kingdom that is not of God yet, but will be transformed into God's kingdom. Now, I hope that you've enjoyed today's program. We've gotten into some really deep truths today, but there's a little bit more to come. I want you to hang in there, because after I go off, a colleague of mine is going to come right on to give you a little more information on this very important subject. So hang in there, but for now, I want to thank you for joining us on this edition of the Armor of God. Please continue to come back. Watch this program as often as you can to learn as much as you can about the truth of God. So long for now, but stand by for my colleague.
Wow, can you imagine Mike making this statement that you will be adopted by God? That you will be a son of God, equivalent to being adopted into a family? Now, when you understand that in all of its richness, you can begin to understand throughout the course of Mike's program why he was so emphatic that we need to start living like we're in the kingdom now. Of course, the kingdom is not here yet, but we do need to start living like we're in the kingdom now because the kingdom is on a countdown from heaven. Now, I want to bring your attention back up here to Romans chapter 8. Mike spent quite a bit of time in chapter 8, but I want to kind of go further up into the chapter to verse 5, just to mention this and to refocus this for us. He says here, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For lo, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So this is talking about inclinations, what your priority is, what you trend toward. If you're fleshy minded, if all that you do is pursue your life with trying to obtain materialism and things, well then guess what? That's going to ultimately lead to nothing but death. You need to be more spiritually minded, more spiritually oriented, pursuing the things of virtue, and of course those standards and values that Jesus Christ claims will lead you to life. Notice what he says here in verse 8. "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." That doesn't mean that, you know, we can't please God because we're still fleshy human beings. No, he's talking figuratively. What he means by that is very simply, he's talking about being one who strives after, pursues, and aspires toward those things which are spiritual. Now notice this, though, in verse 9. He says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Imagine that. There he is, Paul saying you are in the Spirit right now because the Spirit of God is in you. And if the Spirit of God is in you, then live like you are a spiritual being. There's so many things that I'd like to share with you, but time's run out again here. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Get the two offers that we have, two CDs, 2 hours that will elaborate more detail about what we're talking about. The kingdom is at hand, and secondly, the kingdom now. Both are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial that number or hit us on our website at www.cgi.org. This is Bill Watson reminding you always to keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil times.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.